We are blessed to have our speakers today, Juarez Mexico team. They're going to be sharing about the work that is that God is doing in Juarez Mexico and how they took part in it. So join me in a word of prayer for them. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Mexico team and just the work that they did there and how they participated in the work that you are currently doing there. God, I pray that you help them share what they did and that you open our hearts to hear what they have to say. In Jesus' name I do pray, amen. Let's give it up for the Juarez Mexico team.
I'm going to have all y'all guys come up here. Yeah. Now that I've still half the chapel, it seems. I'm going to talk a little bit. I'm just going to give an intro, I suppose, about Juarez because I've kind of got to crunch through it so that way these guys can get their time in to talk. But basically, the PowerPoint that I've made, I'm going to explain where Juarez is at and explain my experience and how God's brought it to Barclay. And then I'll let them explain their own experience. So for most people, they expect when I say we're going to Mexico, they think we're going clear down like into Mexico. Actually, we're right on the border. And that's... Hey, that's where we're at, so it's not a vacation either. So, I always like this slide because I show this to everybody as we get going, right before the trip, because I have one rule for this trip. Don't make me visit you in a hospital or a prison. But to explain Juarez, it's 1.5 million people. 500,000 of those people are in poverty. That's a picture of Juarez. We've actually, if you see in the center there, there's a church or a chapel. This team did not get to go there this year, but believe it or not, you guys were in that mess too, right on the far left next to the church in the middle there. But I can tell you, you don't know the Mexican experience until you've driven in that. Here's a view of the neighborhood, though, from the top of the church. It's a rough neighborhood. You've got pallet fence houses. I've seen vans that were cut in half, and it held a family of eight. That's really hard to recover from once you see that. It's hard to come back to American life afterwards and say, oh yeah, I've got an air conditioner, I can sit in a cozy chapel and take advantage of the fact that the fans are running right now, and I've got clean water, I've got a toilet that I can actually flush. Where we go is a school called James R. Gainley. That school's been around since 2005. Gilbert and Maria are the missionaries down there. They will be here next semester as well. They were here last semester. They really enjoyed the first time here, so they want to come back. They love Barclay students. But there's about 100 students at the school. And as it says right there, it only goes up to sixth grade. Because that's usually where most students get to in Juarez, is they don't get past sixth grade. That's about where they're considered adults, and that's where it's time to move on with your life and start seeking better opportunities. So imagine you guys are already adults at sixth grade. You guys are done with your education. You're providing already for either your family or getting lost into trouble after sixth grade. The goal... and we kind of helped build onto that this year. They're hoping that God will bring a seventh and eighth grade opportunity to those students. I'm looking forward to see what happens with that. All of this is volunteer too. It's like parents that teach at this school. Parents cook lunch. Parents do everything at this school. It's volunteer hours out of the parents and the kindness of their heart. It's hard to, pictures and things just don't do it justice. But this trip wasn't about us. This is definitely about the kids. The work that God's doing down there is, and that we do down there that God uses us to do, we're not preaching, we're working. And the opportunity comes to preach along the way, but it's hard manual labor, and it gives these kids the opportunity to have a safe environment in a very dangerous city to hear the gospel. They are the future of Juarez, and they're the ones who are going to be going out into that city far more than we ever could, and being the spiritual leaders in that city. So it means a lot to give those kids that opportunity. My personal experience, that goofy guy in the middle and the goofy guy next to me is Austin Ogle. I found out about Juarez right after I dropped out of high school in 2010. I was definitely looking for no good. And I'd never been on a missions trip before. I didn't think that churchy stuff was really all that anyways. But I can't describe how I felt when I got down there other than it was culture shock. I expected a vacation. I did. I was like, I'm going to Mexico. It's going to be great. I've heard about a couple other trips that were missions and they're kind of touristy instead of worky. And, so I was like, let's go. I went for the wrong reasons and God really worked in me in that. But I found out the hard way for sure. It was not a vacation. But I'm going to fly through my experience and talk about Barclay's experience. So in 2012, it would have been actually, I felt called to bring Juarez here. It was continuously on my mind. I heard Kevin Lee, who was a staff member last year, he was talking about, hey, we're looking for an opportunity that's affordable for mission, for students who have never been on missions trips before. And I was like, hey, we could go to Juarez. And his first thought was Juarez, like the city on the border where people get killed all the time, where drug lords are at. You want to go to Juarez? No. And we fought that for like a whole year, actually. I continuously felt called to message him, and I was like, hey, Kevin, God's really put it on my heart. We should go to Juarez. And even when I wasn't a student here, I'd left for a little while. I was like, hey, Kevin, this might sound weird, but I'd like to take some students down to Juarez, Mexico. Even though nobody has any connections at this college with these guys, I'd like to take some students to Juarez, Mexico. Not sketchy at all, right? So in 2014, well, 15 actually, we went. And there's the first team that's ever went. It was just 9 of us. It started out with 20 signed up, and I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with this? God, what do you want? Okay. So I really thought that I was in charge of that trip last year, but I realized how much work Kevin put in this year, and leading a missions trip and leading a ministry revolves around a whole lot more prayer because you can't do it by yourself. Because this year is 25 students. I did not expect it to explode like that. It started out with 35 that signed up. There's our goofy team. I love all of them. So, when we got down there, it was kind of fun. The far corner up on the top left, they got to experience church in Juarez. They were the minority. They weren't catering to them. Like, it was all in Spanish, and it was kind of fun to look around the room as they awkwardly did not know what was going on. And then we went out into the market. These are some pictures from last year. The bottom picture to the left is still the market. It's very crowded. A lot of people got to learn how to barter and all that stuff. And that was one day that we got to go out and explore Juarez. The rest of the time, we spent it with kids. We got to minister with the kids. We got to really get to know the kids. If you take note of the picture on the top left with Paul, see how happy he is? Oh, that's cute. See how happy he is again? Oh, that's cute. Boom! We put that boy to work. It was a lot of concrete work. Cemento was a bad word for half these guys because it meant they were mixing concrete by hand. Day 2 or 3 on Wednesday, you're sore. You're hurting. That's when you're really spending time in prayer because you're like, I don't want to kill the guy next to me. You really experience some ministry pains in it. And I think it was a beautiful thing. Like, there's so much sacrifice put into it. You hurt, and you hurt together. But this is their daily life down there. They do that every day. We can come back to the comforts and forget about it the very next day when we're back. We're sitting there either watching Netflix or, something. We're wasting time. So here's some of the work that they did, and I'm not going to talk too much about it because I know that we don't have a whole lot of time. but they all got to paint. They got to swing it, we knocked down walls, built walls, sheetrock, electrical work, you name it. Whoever had certain skills on the trip, we put them to use. We spent a lot of time in fellowship in our downtime, and it was a beautiful thing. I loved it. And I think I'm just going to let them talk now, because I've spent enough time talking. I think you guys get the gist. So we need a mic, probably. Yeah. So.
Hello. Okay. So I guess what I'm going to talk about is my family. The first time I went, I was trying to get a hold of some of the family members that I've seen when I was about 9. So it was kind of, I talked to some lady and we're trying to figure out who my family was because I had family that lived just in that area. But couldn't find her because I didn't have enough information. The second time we went this year, my dad ended up coming for the translator, so he knew a little bit more information. And found out the lady that I was actually talking to was actually my cousin. And then I found out that I had, yeah. Then I found out that I actually had a few cousins that went to the school. So it was kind of a give back thing, knowing that I was giving back to my own family. And yeah, it was really nice. So, yeah.
I'm going to talk about change. The first year I went, it was just, man, work. And you want to see the kids, but you can't because it's a bigger picture of why you're there. We're building up like protection for them and all this sorts of stuff. So even though you're in the background, it's just where you need to be at that point. Coming back this year, it was just so eye-opening to see all the kids and just be able to play with them this time and stuff like that. I have 4 girls that I sponsor every month, and they're just a joy to be around.
God did a lot through all that stuff, but they asked me to share a funny story. So Gilberto, the leader of the school, accidentally bought the wrong type of paint. And I wasn't painting. There's a group of people painting. I wasn't painting, but me and Ezra were the room across from the people painting, and we were doing sheetrock. And let's just say Ezra was not acting normal the whole time. The fumes got to him a little bit. There was times we were in there, and I didn't know what Ezra was doing or what he was saying, but it wasn't English, and it wasn't Spanish. We had all our tools on the sink, and we were trying to put sheetrock up on the ceiling. And he stands on the sink with all our tools, all the screws, everything you think of, all the bits for all the power tools we're using, and the sink just flies back, and his feet go like that, and he just lands on top of it, and like it looked like a tornado went through the bathroom that we were working on. Yeah, and after that, we went outside, and Ezra just sitting and playing in the dirt and just laughing. So yeah, that was probably the most memorable part for me.
Let's see, that's hard to follow up a sentiment. Oh, thanks, Ryan. Let's see, for myself, this is my first time leaving the country. And growing up in Kansas, and I was just all, America! When I got down there, I had to go to a prayer for the first 10 minutes. I was so blown away by the culture shock. And I realized throughout the whole trip how arrogant and naive I've been my whole life, and really just what people have to deal with down there. And not just that, but they have so much less, but they treasure each other instead of material things. So that really opened my eyes. And let's see, one of the people that we were blessed to meet, his name was Gustavo, and I don't know if you'll see pictures of him up here, but he was Ben's assistant, if they show you who Ben is. But on the second or third day, I can't see him, man, but
the far right.
Faith is on top of it.
The far right in the blue shirt with the hat. That's him standing next to his wife and some of his kids.
Thanks, Faith. But on the second or third day, we were working over where we were doing demolition, and he came up to me, and he had already told me about his children. He has 3 tattoos on his arm, and it's awesome. But he told me about his youngest baby, and I'm going to try and pick up the language here. Alejandra. That was her name. She's 6 months old. Don't laugh at me. I'll try. But she had a sinus infection, and he didn't have any money. And she couldn't go to the hospital, couldn't get any medicine. And he went back to work, and it was just me and him. I couldn't let it go. Honestly, this would not leave me. I felt like I had to do something about it. And so Sean, Pilo, and Austin, they came back to where we were working, and I asked him if we could pray for him. And after a couple of times of trying to translate that, I finally got through, and we were able to pray for him. And Sean gave him $15, which is a lot in pesos. And the next morning, he came to us, and his baby Alejandra, she was fine. Everything was gone. So he was definitely blown away by that, and he told us all that there was a special place in his heart for us, and he cannot wait to see us again. And we got to meet his whole family because of it. Beautiful family. Bonita.
Okay, well, I'm talking from the perspective of an education major because we worked with children. Kind of as I think Paul said, that we did a lot of labor, and so there was kind of that, okay, how is this going towards the children kind of a thing. I want to go play with them. But there's a bigger picture there. We were helping build a junior high, and some of us education majors did get to go observe the classrooms, and that was really fun. It was especially funny because I think there were 3 of us who went to a kindergarten class, and I was the one who knew most of the Spanish, but I was still very, Spanish comes back to me more so situationally, and I'm not very confident, so I was trying to tutor these children in Spanish who don't know any English, and there's 2 other people with me that are like, how do you say this? How do you tell them this? How do you say, like, you know, greater than, less than? And I was like, hang on, give me a second. I don't have, you know, dictionary on me. So that was really funny. But it was just good to be around the kids and to observe, because the Spanish classroom is very similar but very different. As they said, they're all volunteers. I found it very interesting, especially being as most of a lot of ed majors are in PE methods currently. And the teachers in the classroom not only teach all of the subjects that would go into whatever grade they're teaching, but they also teach PE for those kids as well. And so that was a pretty cool thing. I think personally, just to see the kids and their joy just shows how much this work, this hard work. Clearly, you can see that I am not very good with physical labor. But I was put on concrete and demolition, and that was fun. But even in my weakness, it shows that God is strong, because we got so much done, so much more than they actually expected. Gilbert, he and I had a one-on-one conversation, and we actually talked about my future for missionaries, for people of Barclay. And he wants Barclay students, education majors, to come and help them, to teach them, or to teach children there, to teach them English. And so that's a scary opportunity, but an amazing opportunity for me personally, but also for many other education majors. I don't know. It's very, I can't describe how different and amazing the Mexican classroom is compared to America. They truly take what they have and use it as much as they can. They improvise a lot more than we have to here. So it's pretty cool.
So I'm going to talk real quick about sponsoring kids. So Paul mentioned that he sponsors four girls. I sponsor three little boys down there. And so, like we've been saying, the school is very volunteer-based and everything. So the sponsoring the kids each month goes to their uniforms, goes to their school supplies, paying the teachers that they can, and then their one hot meal each day. So I didn't expect that something like that would happen when I first went down in 2016. I didn't think that I would connect with any certain kids specifically and end up becoming like pen pals with them and getting letters from them and pictures and that kind of thing. But it happened and it was great. And then when it was announced that we were going to go back in 2017, I was initially hesitant to go because I knew that there was other things that I could have used the week of spring break to take care of and get some things in order and that kind of stuff. But remembering that I had kids down there and that if there was a van that said Barclay College on the side and some of the people who went last year came out and I didn't come off that van, really stuck with me. And so I had an obligation to go down there. I didn't think that they were going to remember who I was, but Monday morning, my three boys walked through the gate and they saw me and they smiled and I didn't think that was going to happen. And we played a lot of soccer and we played a lot of four square and we made fun of each other and we made fun of other people together. And it was fun. It was really good. And so, the reason why I have such a heart and such a passion for Mexico and for this school and for all that stuff is really because of those three boys and that I believe in them and I believe in supporting them and that stuff.
So the main thing I think about when I think about the trip is how talking to Gilbert, the guy who started the school, I think it was like 10 years ago or something, it started from nothing. He was a paramedic driver in El Paso, Texas, and he just happened to come down to do ministry in Juarez, and he saw that a need was there for a school, so he began to get into education. And God sort of gave him the resources over time to make this school that's like the nicest thing in the area. And to do that, he gave him Ben, which is like the master builder who built this whole place from scratch. He had like very little formal education, and he was constantly thanking God for his gifts and his abilities. So it just feels like together that the entire school, which was the nicest thing around, was like a monument and just a gift from and to God. I think that was a really beautiful thing.
I love working with this group. Going into it, I was looking around and was like, wow, this is a diverse group. I didn't know how well we would work together, if we get along, but I know a lot of us were praying. And so while we were there, it was just amazing to see the unity between the group and how well we worked together and just how it all worked out. We were mixed, like, oh, you need to do this now. Like, oh, sorry, I know you were assigned to that, but you need to go here. So we're constantly changing groups of who we were working with. So if you're trying to avoid someone, too bad you're throwing rocks with them, Pilo. just kidding. but that's just, it touched me so deeply to see God's family work together. No matter like the differences in personality, background, whatever, we're family and we have one goal, one purpose to glorify God, to love his people. So that's the biggest thing I got from this trip.
All right, so I guess I just want to talk a little bit about what our goal was as far as our building project down there. So like Aaron said, they're hoping to expand into 7th and 8th grade next fall. There's a lot of demand for that there in the community. A lot of the parents are asking them to do that so that the kids can get a little further before they quit their education. So in order to be able to do that, they're going to have to add on to their facility. So they have an old building on one end that's kind of broken down, and they're needing to tear that down so they can build the new building. So that's, you know, we did some demolition. That's what we're doing there, knocking down those walls, leveling that out for the permanent building for the school. And then on the other end of the property, they had a house that we were working on renovating that they're going to use for their classrooms this coming fall. So that's where the painting and drywall came in. And then we also had, you know, we're working on some of the perimeter wall as far as building, you know, building another block wall. They have to build like two walls around everything. That way, because like the buildings, they have to be protected. So like if a car, you know, drives into, it's just the outer wall that's damaged instead of the actual structure. So we're working on some of that. And then also, they have an area between the house and the main school that we're working on pouring, you know, cement for a patio area for the kids. So that's kind of what we're doing while we're down there. And, you know, like I say, the house, we got that almost done. So they're pretty much going to be in good shape to start up with 7th and 8th grade this fall. And, you know, they're a little farther down the road with their permanent building. So I guess mission accomplished.
Give some of these guys a chance too. So just real quick.
Of course. Hello. This was my second time going to Mexico. My church has a similar missions trip where they send high school students down to Mexicali. And that was the basis that I had for this trip. I used that to give me some of an idea what was going on. This is my second time to Mexico, second time out of the United States. That's all I had to run off of. And it was, in terms of Mexico itself, it was pretty accurate. But the last time I went to Mexico, none of my friends went with me. I was stuck with people who were all out of my age range, so they weren't senior. There were no other senior boys but myself, and I was stuck on a team with all of the senior girls. I know that sounds fun, but I knew them for far too long before that. I knew them for at least 4 years, so just the novelty had long since worn off. But, and they had all gone to Mexico before, and they had their own little traditions and things that they would do. And they were just cliquey in general because they had known each other and grown up with each other for so long, and I was literally the odd man out. And that defined that week there. So that was my previous experience in Mexico, which was still great. I got to hang out with the kids. We did VBS stuff. But that's what I had as a baseline and my just minimum standard. So when we crossed the border and we went to James R. Ganley School and went there on Sunday, we didn't start working on Sunday. We went to the church. Aaron really downplayed just how awful the church experience was. They couldn't sing very well at all. It was all off pitch. But, well, after that, we were all hanging out. We had lunch. And everyone immediately went to their friend groups, to which I didn't particularly belong to any of them because I've known these people for only slightly more than 4 months, much less 4 years. So I began thinking, it's going to be like this again for a week. And that evening, I just took a book I was planning to read all week. I went downstairs into the bedrooms that they had set up for us. They each had a room for both, one for boys, one for girls, and they were all filled with bunk beds. I went down there, laid on my bed, and just started reading for an hour or so. And then I hear Faith outside in the hallway saying, "Hey guys, where did Eric go?" Because I had been gone for an hour. And even though it was really subtle, and until yesterday when I told them I wanted to speak, she didn't know about this. But that was touching. And it changed my attitude about the rest of the trip. And like Charity said, we all became a unit. And partially because we spent 12 hours both ways in vans. That was an experience. But it was something different, it was something new, and it was something meaningful in all ways. I'm going again next year, so everyone here, you had better come at some point. That is all.
I'm just going to keep my kind of brief. I spoke the devotional Monday night, and I just talked about strength, everyone being strong in the Lord, and I think you guys did that really well. It's almost noon and not everybody gets to speak. So I would encourage you guys out here to come find somebody and ask the stories. I mean, there's a million stories. I could talk about the food. I could talk about hanging out with Jeremiah, who's in Orange right there underneath Austin. I could stand up here and talk by myself until 1 o'clock and you guys would be really mad at me. It was an amazing experience. I had a lot of fun through the cold showers, through the kick in the can, just everything. So ask about him. I would really encourage you guys. There's 25 of us. Ask.
So before we go, we're going to play a really quick video, I promise. And then I'll finish with a prayer. So for our final prayer, I'm going to ask you guys to stand up and I'm going to pray in Spanish. So. Dios, gracias por este día, gracias por las bendiciones que nos has dado, gracias por permitirnos estar aquí juntos en armonía y te damos gracias por el proyecto que se pudo seguir adelante, Padre Santo. Te pido que tú toques los corazones de la gente que fue y de la gente que no fue, que se empiece a inspirar para poder ir el año que viene. Te pido que tú estés con nosotros y que nos bendigas, Padre Santo. Bendice a cada uno de nosotros. Ayúdanos a no darnos por vencidos y no terminar cansados y desmayando, sino que con fuerza y con ese arranque de fe, Padre Santo, de que tú puedes hacer todo, en ti todo es posible. En el nombre de Jesús, amén.
Grace, peace, you're dismissed.